to you, Lord. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes. Ah, hallelujah. Woo! He's worthy of all that, and we sure do enjoy doing it because of how great he is, and we could never overdo it. The only overdue we're dealing with is O-V-E-R-D-U-E. There's a whole lot more that's due to him than I've ever been able to give him. But he's worthy of that thank you. He's worthy of that amen. He's worthy of that lifted hand. He's worthy of that tear. He's worthy of that heart thought that you've had about him. He is just worthy, and he receives it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. From 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. One of the reasons we give intensity, it's mainly because God is so worthy, but one of the reasons that we could have to give more intensity in our worship as we do, that is because we don't know how many more of these opportunities we're going to have because of the time in which we live. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. And if this verse has ever been true, and it has been, just because of the calendar, it's all that more true. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto or with prayer. He's saying, be of sound judgment. Think right. Be of sober spirit. Be clear-minded and self-controlled. One translator said this, take nothing for granted. Stay wide awake because everything in this world is about to wrap up. About to wrap up. Probably the majority of this congregation has heard numerous times the Lord is coming. I've grown up in this, but I don't want my familiarity to dull or deaden the alertness to the soon coming of the Lord and the fact that he could come at his chosen time, which is at any time. And so, in light of his coming, for the sake of this message and beyond, I want to tell you from the beginning, God wants you to be ready for his coming. And not only does he want you to be ready, but he wants to make you ready. And I've tried to get my spirit in alignment with those two statements in prayer about this message. I'm in agreement with wanting you to be ready and wanting to help you to be ready. This message is a call to use spiritually legitimate touchstones to make sure of your spiritual standing and readiness in light of our present culture and the soon coming of the Lord. Important spiritual touchstones. And you may be seated. A touchstone was formerly used in days before scientific and technological methods. They would just take a simple, hard, black stone, and they could test whether it was really gold or was really silver by attempting to make a scratch on that touchstone. And if it made the scratch, and the right kind of a scratch, they knew that it was legitimately the real thing, true gold or real silver. So this word has come to be known, and its definition stands for a test or a criteria for determining the quality or the genuineness of something. And in the spiritual relationship with God, perhaps there are more touchstones than I'll be able to mention today, but I feel particularly directed to three particular touchstones. One, God's word, his doctrines, his values, his principle. I'm going to tell you, every time you scratch that touchstone, every time, it is a true test. His word will truly show whether we are genuine or not. The second touchstone I will use this morning is what you formerly held and what you formerly lived and believed as personal beliefs, standards, dedication points, and disciplines. And the third touchstone is what spiritual authorities and spiritual leaders in your life have taught you. Parents, pastors, a church. There are several different ways to measure the authenticity of something. There are several measuring instruments that could be used to measure whether or not we are right and righteous and ready for the coming of the Lord. You could use the cultural norm. What does culture or society say about right and wrong? You could also use the measurement of the majority. Is this what everybody else is doing? You could even use religious viewpoints that are not completely aligned with the Word of God. Even some having a little bit of truth in it mixed with error. But those are not true touchstones in that they are based on something other than the Word of God. I would just say to you today, and this will be very basic and simple here at the beginning. I'm going to repeat something you already know, but it's important that it be repeated and remembered. God's word is always the first go-to and the ultimate benchmark and touchstone for determining our spiritual status. For a man's heart is deceitful, so we can even feel like we are okay and that not be absolutely correct. If you had no other benchmark, this one, the Word of God, and this one all by itself would be enough. In our world, somebody has written that religion in the United States has a new anthem. It's no longer, give me that old time religion, but the new anthem is, don't fence me in. A sociologist said, we live where there is a spiritual salad bar. Americans believe in everything. It's a spiritual salad bar. You take what you like, you leave what you don't like. I would just offer today to all of us not to adopt the misleading mentality that many are adopting, that God no longer means exactly what he previously has said in his word. People have put their own spin on how God said he would deal with sin. They put their own spin on what truth is and what is true doctrine. They put their own spin on guidelines and commandments and values of righteousness and godliness. And even some of us apostolics have put our own spin on the expectations of what is necessary to be an apostolic believer. But God's word has not changed. It means what it has always meant. No matter how a person changes, a church changes, a world changes. Truth is never decided by a number. In other words, whether many believe it, or the majority believe it, or if there are just a few who are believing it. And we do not reject something because others believe it or because it is popular. There are many common Bible doctrines and themes that many accept and they receive it. But our barometer is not how many are receiving it. Our barometer, our touchstone is, what does God say about it? Neither do we accept something because others simply believe it or it is popular. And I felt this little warning that I wanted to lay into your heart. Others, and some of them very closely associated with you, either have or they will change their beliefs and their values. And I want to quickly add with that, there are many others who are not moving themselves and not moving landmarks of truth. And I thank God for our younger generation's strong stand for the Word of God. But I must say to you today that your continued standing for truth is not to be connected with, well, you really don't love them or you wouldn't take that position. In fact, the reality is to believe and to live and to expect truth before anyone is an indicator of genuine love. Taking a position of truth and righteousness is not to be linked with you are being judgmental. You see, the pressure of feeling like I'm being judged happens when what is wrong is exposed to what is right and the light. What that is a God-created consciousness. And I've found myself second-guessing because there has been perhaps an accusation of being judgmental. But really, it is not at all. It's simply a stand for what is truth and for what is right. And what happens when a person feels convicted or condemned, that's a God thing in the light of His Word and the light of His power and Word. I will also tell you something you already perhaps have noticed, that sin and carnality and ungodly values are being lived in a camouflage of false understanding and sometimes an intentional false presentation of grace and a loving God. In other words, God's not that hard. He doesn't expect us to live like that. God understands that we're not perfect. He doesn't expect us to live by such definite or difficult standards and dedications. But here's the question about all of that. Since when does God not abide by or expect what He has recorded in His Word? It remains the same. There is a pressure to force a choice between being people-friendly and being biblically correct. But God's plan is not designed to force us to make that choice. We do not have to yield righteous biblical truth to effectively and genuinely love people and be people friendly. Being people friendly to a family member or a friend or a church is not equal to and does not force us to compromise truth. But being people friendly really is informing them, here is what is true. That's a sign of true love. If it appears that any part of truth, I've said this, others have said this misappropriately, we don't want to scare anybody away. If it appears that any part of truth scares someone away, it is not the truth or the believer of truth that should change. It is the individual who needs to change and align themselves with the eternally true Word of God. I just exalt this word today, as this is our true touchstone. This is what determines who we are now, how we will live now, how we will be judged in that great time before the Lord. I want to encourage you today, to everyone, elders to the newest convert, take the Word of God seriously. See it as more than a place where preachers get messages and Sunday school teachers get Sunday school lessons. And take it for what it is, and take it for what it says. Do not see it as an option. His word is not optional. His word is what will lead, guide, and shed light, true light upon our life. Do not see it only as being far the more spiritual, but see it as an expectation for your life and for anyone's life. Be careful, be conscientious to follow the Word of God, follow the commandments, every directive of the Word of the Lord, no matter what others say or think, or how others may be responding to that Word. Don't be influenced by a few, nor by a majority. Let the Word of God, everything that it says, the good parts about the joy, but the harder parts about the expectations and the disciplines and the judgments of God, let it all be seen as an expectation. Do not take the Word of God for granted, but take it seriously. And then the touchstone of what you formerly held as a person, how you formerly lived, your personal disciplines, beliefs, and standards. God today is calling us in this service to a remembrance and a reevaluation. The best way to explain this is just to provide a question. Are you living closer or further from the commitments and the altars and the consecrations, the standards and the dedication points that you once held? I'm going to repeat that again, and I want that to just saturate and marinate in your thinking and hearts. Are you living closer or further from commitments, altars, consecrations, and dedication points that you once held? Here's the truth. There is a tendency in flesh, so it's all of us, to loosen or lessen our values, our morals, our disciplines, and our commitments. And then you add to that flesh tendency the pressures of society and the culturally accepted norms. And those norms continually and consistently dumb down God's expectations, if it holds them at all. So I'm preaching right now to address those two tendencies of flesh and culture, because they leave us in the very vulnerable and dangerous position of setting our own touchstones and benchmarks, determining for ourselves what is truth, determining for ourselves what is righteous, or what are the expectations of God. Every command of God is still legitimate. It does not matter how men decide to try to hide it. They can take them down off of walls in the courtroom. They can take them down out of city buildings, the Ten Commandments. But that does not change the Word of God. Preachers like myself could dilute and try to change and try to make the doctrines and the teachings and the values of Scripture more palatable to the flesh and dumb that down. But that will never change the eternal truth and the eternal Word of God. So whatever you read in Scripture in your personal time, whatever you hear preached and taught from a Bible-based preacher or teacher, those are the things that you must hold to in order to live successfully here and then to live eternally there. I repeat again, the Lord is coming. And the way He says we are going to be judged, Sometimes even that very word itself, the word judge, is almost distasteful and almost to the point of being like a curse word or a word that you should not say. It needs to be said. It needs to be said in the right way, because there is going to be a judgment. We are being judged by God. We are being looked at and inspected, and thankfully we are being helped by His help and His power. Sometimes when we loosen or lessen our dedication points, we do that saying, well, maybe I have been too hard on myself. I'm appealing to your altars of consecration that you have set in your past, your spiritual disciplines. And we try to explain that away by saying, well, maybe I was too hard. Or maybe all of those things, those commitments, those spiritual disciplines aren't all that necessary, especially when I look and see that others are not abiding by those or any. And here's what happens. When we start explaining that away, we begin to slacken our prayer time. It begins to lessen. The reading of God's word is slackened. Those spiritual disciplines and commitments that we had, we let up on our faithfulness landmarks that we once set. People determine, I'm going to be there when the doors are open. I'm going to be at the house of God. And I would just tell you, all of us have this litany of excuses or reasons as to why we can lessen these kind of faithful commitments. But I just ask you once again, are you living closer to or further from those commitments once held? We pamper our flesh and explain away the necessity of fasting. I would just say this to you today. You are not as strong spiritually as God wants you to be and as you need to be if you are not fasting and coming before the Lord in that manner. So it's possible to just gradually let go. It doesn't happen all at one time. It's gradually that we let go of spiritual values that have made us the spiritual person that we are and the spiritual person that is necessary for when the Lord comes. But if and when those are lost, it places you in an unsure and an unsafe spiritual condition. There are some things about which we can say, oh, it doesn't matter all that much. It's not a very big deal. But that's not true about the Word of God and the spiritual commitments and the spiritual altars. It is a big deal. It's an eternal deal. It's a God deal. You say, Brother Williford, is God all that serious? Is God all of that stringent? He is that serious. He's given us His word so that it can shine and so that we can have the experience that David had. It says, search me, O God. I pray that spirit upon this congregation today. Search me, O God. Know me. Because it's very possible for people who were once saved to be lost. There are too many sad testimonials of people who at one time were so very committed but fell under that deceptive influence of, it's not all that necessary. Or that's just being way too spiritual. I just offer to you today, be careful what you are letting go of. Principles and truth are not generational. Well, that's what the old timers believed. That was okay for their time. But it's not necessary now. Principles and truth are not generational. It is true that is what previous generations have held. But the old timers believing it is not what made it true. It's not what made it right or wrong because they believed it. It was right or wrong because it's what God's word has said. And it's what God's word holds. The writer of Hebrews says this, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Never allow the things that you have learned and lived from the Word of God to get away from you. And when you are introduced to more truth than is scriptural truth, take it and add it to what you are now walking in. Because what you already know is foundational. It's a foundation. Don't throw away and forget those old altars and that farmer commitment and those old touchstones. Newly understood truth does not negate old previously known truth. It's to be built together. To live in the blessings of God and ultimately to be saved, we must live according to the Word of God. It's how all of us are going to be judged. It's how my pastoral ministry is going to be judged. The Word of God. And so it's important that we hold on to His Word and not let it slip as He wrote in Hebrews. The man of God, the voice of God to the Hebrews was saying, with all of this being true, we ought to pay much closer attention than ever to the truths that we have heard. In other words, if there's ever a time we need to pay attention to what we formerly have heard, it's this time. You know, sometimes I find myself as a preacher and even a believer of trying to search out and look for some new thing. And I believe we ought to stay fresh. And I believe we ought to try to do the very best we can to bring out new insights from the Word of God. But the warning of that Hebrew voice and writer was this. Of all times, now is the time to spend the most attention and pay the most attention to what we already know and to altars and commitments and touchstones that we have already set. We'll get distracted looking for some new thing, but He said now more than ever, pay attention, pay extra attention, pay more attention to what you have been taught. I want to lead this church in that way. You don't have to worry about getting mired in the past and not having a vision for the future by standing true on the Word of God. But now, more than ever before, I appeal, and thank you, guests, for being here today. I'm very glad you are, and I hope you will receive this message today. And I can most directly appeal to the members of Apostolic Pentecostal, but I believe it is for all of us. If there was ever a time you spent moments, and you spent your energy and you spent your meditation and your thinking on what you have been taught, the writer said, now is the time more than ever before. Pay more attention now. And I know the vulnerability because you will be accused of living in the past. You will be told, well, there's a new generation and there are new insights. It is a new generation. There are new insights. But there is still the Word and the principles of God that will forever be true. He said, give more earnest heed. When you let those things slip away, please hear me today. I've got to clean my hands here today. When you let things slip, you will pay the price. And not only will you pay the price, but perhaps family members will pay the price and others that you associate with. That's why I said, pay even more attention. Here was Paul's advice. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and mind the same thing. In other words, keep walking by the same belief system that got you here. Keep walking by the same rule and the same mind and the same mindset that got you to where you are in the spirit and in a relationship with God. And now I appeal to that touchstone of the spiritual authorities in your life. Most of those beliefs and principles, values that you formerly held and lived had their source in the spiritual authority of your life. Parents, pastors, other spiritual leaders, Sunday school teachers. Anything you were taught by elders in your past that was or is based on the principles of God's word is still true. And that holds true for past voices and present voices. Anything that you were taught by spiritual authorities in your life based on the word of God is still true. And it doesn't matter how long ago they taught it, because some see the gap between then and now as being able to remove the fact that it's still endorsed and still legitimate. It doesn't matter how long ago they taught it, and it won't matter how long we go into our future. It's God's unchanging word. It's God's unchanging word that you submitted to, and that's why you made that consecration to pray. That's why you made that consecration to be faithful. That's why you made that consecration to be an example by how you appear, by your dress. That's why you made that consecration, because the principles based in the word of the Lord. It holds true for whether it's salvation or family precepts and marriage. And we know how our society has redefined marriage as well as redefining salvation. But this is still the book to go by. And it's getting closer and closer. It's getting closer and closer to a time where a leader or even a believer will not be able to take a stand about the true values of marriage and to really, truly define what marriage really is, a union between a man and a woman. That's God's order. That's God's definition. But the time that we are living in is seeking to obliterate that. Thank God for His word. Here's what's going to stand. And we may have to pay a price to take this stand, whether it be about salvation, marriage, anything else. It seems that society, and it tries to seep its way into the church, that we treat some values and principles that were held by previous generations as though they shouldn't even be expected in this day and time. But they are still true and they are still necessary. It's important for us to realize this will be the basis for our judgment on that ultimate day. It won't be, now if Pastor thinks what the Word of God thinks, then it'll be okay. But if Pastor thinks something else, it doesn't matter what Pastor thinks. It doesn't matter what you feel or you think. It's going to be the Word of God. And it's important and should be the basis not only with judgment in view, but how we live. I would just tell you, stand strong on the Word of God, on the values you once held, and keep listening to the voice, the echoing voice of elders. I've heard some people say, well, I never believed that anyhow. That puts them in a position of either being untruthful then when they said they believed it or untruthful now. I want to thank God. I give honor to my father today. I thank God for wonderful parents who drew definite boundaries But before they drew definite boundaries, they set definite landmarks of righteousness. And there were enough times, I'm not going to say there was a bunch or a few. I'm going to stay safe. But there were enough times when I bumped into a boundary. Here's the thing about a boundary. The boundary doesn't move. If I bump into it, I'm the guy moving. The fence rail doesn't get up and slap me across the arm and put that bruise there. The boundary didn't move. I moved. When we bump into boundaries, it's not the boundary that's moving. It's not the values or the principles that are moving. It's you and I. And God puts boundaries in our life for safety and for security. I want to go a step further and give honor to our founder, Harry Branding. Many of you did not know him. And I've heard people say that they were no longer, or their children were no longer in the church because of his strict enforcement of biblical, godly principles. And so they no longer served God and turned away. I would just offer to you, they are being untruthful. The difficulty was they loved the world more than they loved God. Here's what we know, and this is true, and you can lay this on your own life and the life of anybody else. People committed to godliness are never driven away when a parent or a pastor administers and expects godliness. I really feel deeply to make a special appeal to couples and individuals that are in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. I'd like for everybody that's in one of those decades by your age to stand. 20s, 30s, 40s. There will be several individuals and there will be several couples. If you would just remain standing. Your marriage is valuable to God. It's valuable to you. It's valuable to the church. It's valuable to the world. Rule and guide your marriage by the values and the principles of Scripture. Establish, let your marriage be a holy refuge. You all have already heard a lot, and probably you're going to live long enough, if the Lord tarries, to hear a whole lot more about redefinitions of what is righteous and what is right and what is true. But I appeal to you today, make your marriage a godly marriage. Let it be a union covered and bonded by the Spirit and the power of the Holy Ghost. And I know that some of you are family units, and you have children. I checked with our children's church leaders a little bit earlier yesterday, again today. And they may be able to view us back there, I'm not sure. But nonetheless, I asked them to join us because we're going to pray a prayer in just a few moments to help us to use the right touchstones for our lives and for our families. The reality of raising your children poses challenges that are beyond you. It's not easy. Everybody needs the wisdom and the counsel and the covering and the power of the Holy Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. We need His help. And I'm sensing that parents are sensing that very same thing. And there's a wide range of parenthood here today in that some of you have very small ones, very young ones, and others of you have children who are grown. But I'm appealing to you today. use the touchstone of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Don't change your altars of commitments. No matter how strong the current gets, even if it comes into the church, don't change your altars of commitment and what you know is truth and the right way to behave and the right way to live. It is a challenge, but we can have and meet that challenge by the wisdom and the power of the Holy Ghost. I want to say to those of you standing, you are a link between an apostolic past and an apostolic future. And I thank God for the members of APC. And I see it beyond the membership of APC, but I want you to know I thank God for the principles and the altars and the commitments and the dedications that I see in many of you. Please do not be fooled. Please do not be blinded. But make your calling and your election of God very sure. Would you join us in standing, the remainder of the congregation, please? I want us, first of all, before we come around this altar today, I want us to pray for our families. I'm going to ask other church members, if you would, you are near to those who were standing in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. Would you lend your prayer, your faith support, and your prayerfulness to those close by to you who were standing or anybody that you would feel? I want us to pray for the spiritual protection of our families, to our parents, spiritual protection to our children. Who knows what they will face, what some of them are facing right now. But I'm going to tell you, the Holy Ghost that somebody could receive in 1950 or 1970, it's the same Spirit of God right now in this day, right, and just as powerful. Would you pray together? Let's pray for our families right now. Lord, I pray for a stability and a strength and a further establishment of our families. God, let us be a Noah family. Let us be a Noah family to make sure that we get inside the ark, to make sure we obey the requirements and the specifications and the guidelines. We want to hear your voice, Lord. Let us do what Noah did back then, out of the fear and respect of God. Let every couple here build a strong ark for their marriage. Oh, let them build a strong ark for their children and grandchildren, O Lord. Help us, O Lord, not to change anything or try to change anything in your word. Not to change anything about how we formerly lived and valued and believed. Nor to try to change the voice and the words of leaders who are apostolic and who are anointed, who were sent by you, O Lord, into our lives to tell us what we needed to know and what we needed to hear. Oh, God, bless these families that stand before us today. Let an aura of the Holy Ghost be upon them, Lord, and not only upon them, but let it be in them. I pray for every father here. I pray for every mother here. I pray for every child that is either here or in the back. I pray, O Lord, for your covering, O God. And you're going to use us in this challenging hour. This hour shall not overwhelm us. Culture, compromise, or any other thing will not overwhelm us. Help us to set ourselves as never before, O God. Help us to set a definite landmark, O God, and help us not to remove an old, ancient landmark, O God. God, oh, restore our altars. Restore our consecrations as families. Let there be family altars. Let there be times of family reading of the Word of God. Let there be times of the move of your Spirit when our families are together, wherever that may be, at home, at church, or any other place. God, we're standing and we feel somewhat helpless to some extent. On our own, we're helpless. Not only am I the covering that your family needs, but I have ordained that you are a covering for your spouse, your children, and other family members. You are not usurping a position, but I have designed that you would be a covering. Not only have I authorized you, but I have equipped you already, and as the need arises, I will further equip you for things that you feel like that you cannot understand. So if you are willing to be that covering, if you will yield yourself to me, I will give the empowerment that you need. And even the questions that are in your mind today as, what shall I do about this matter? I have your answer. I am your answer. If you will seek, you shall find that answer, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I make this appeal to every person in this building. Reassess what you believe. Reassess your spiritual priorities. Reassess your lifestyle and your life. Reassess your spiritual condition and reassess your readiness for the coming of the Lord. And pray for a personal honesty in your personal assessment and examination. Open this altar right now for anybody that wants to avail themselves, for yourself, for your family. If you want to come back and just get the touchstone and say, I want to hold your word. I want to hold the altars. I want to hold the commitments. Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Help us to be ready, Lord. Help us to be ready, Lord. Now, from right where you are, would you just go in, do a spirit of prayer right now, Lord, we need.